We're up to the end of the third perek, finally. We're up to the end of the third perek in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where we began last week and 2 weeks ago, the sugya of Yatza Motzi. So we began with the Mishnah on Chav Tes Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says, first the rule is, Zeh HaKlal, this is the general principle, Kol She'enu Mechuyev B'davar, anyone who is not obligated to perform a given mitzvah, Enu Motzi Es HaRavim Midei Chavasu, he or she is not able to be the one to help perform the mitzvah for somebody else. So therefore, the Mishnah then tells us if you have a cheresh, a shote, or a katan, all three of those individuals are not obligated to perform mitzvahs. So anyone in that category cannot be the one to do the mitzvah for any of us. So even if you have a Baal Torkeya, who is the greatest Baal Torkeya in the world, but he happens to be a shote, he doesn't really understand what the mitzvahs are all about, he doesn't understand what he's doing, he has no knowledge or understanding of what God is. So in a case like that, we would say, the shote, as much as he might be an amazing Baal Torkeya, he cannot do the mitzvah on our behalf. And similarly, if he's the one who's going to lay in the Megillah, we assume since he's a cheresh, a shote, or a katan, he cannot be the one who is designated to do the mitzvah on behalf of everybody else, because he's an Eina Mechuyev B'davar, which should follow, as we mentioned last week, that should follow logically that if you have somebody who already performed the mitzvah, let's say I already did the Tkiyah Shofar, or I already heard the Mikra Megillah, I should be already listed in that category of Eina Mechuyev B'davar. I am no longer obligated to do this mitzvah because I already have performed my mitzvah. So I should be out of this group of people who's able to be the Baal Torkeya or who's able to be the one to lay in the Megillah. So why is it that we find that we know that somebody can lay in the Megillah and lay in again when they get home for the people who haven't heard? Why is it that somebody could blow the shofar in the shul and then they can go again and do it again later? So that's why the very next discussion in the Gemara follows up on that point and says, no, we have a new principle, and that is the idea of Yatza Motzi, which means, even though you have already performed your obligation, even though you no longer have an outstanding obligation that's left, you did the mitzvah already, you heard the shofar, you heard the Megillah, still, you have a opportunity to go ahead and do it for somebody else, kol zman, that there's somebody else who hasn't yet performed the mitzvah. Why? Because we have this concept of Yatza Motzi, and the Rishonim are trying to understand why is that so. Why am I still labeled as a Mechuyev B'davar? What makes me still obligated? So Rashi and the other Rishonim, right? The reason why is because we have a concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, which as we mentioned last week, doesn't just mean nice and fluffy idea, it means something al pi halacha as well. That Rashi and the other Rishonim explain, Kol Zman, as long as there's somebody in the Jewish people who has not yet fulfilled their obligation, it means I am some way deficient, somewhat deficient in my Kiyum HaMitzvah as well. And therefore we assume that since you have not yet fully performed your mitzvah because there's somebody else who hasn't yet performed it, you're still labeled as a Mechuyev B'davar. And therefore you still have the obligation, you still have the opportunity to go ahead and help somebody else to perform their mitzvah and to recite the brachas on their behalf as well. So the Gemara then draws a distinction that the only time we say this principle of Yatza Motzi is when you have a mitzvah that you're obligated to do, for example, the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, something of that nature. But what if you have a mitzvah that you're not obligated to do? For example, a Birchas Hananen the Gemara discusses. You have a Birchas Hananen. You have no obligation to drink water today. You have no obligation to go ahead and eat a steak right now. So you have an obligation to make a bracha before you eat the steak, but you cannot say, well, as long as there's somebody in the world who has not yet made the shahakal on the steak that they're about to eat, that makes me also Mechuyev B'davar. How can you say Kol Yisrael Arev Mzebezeh would go on that as well? And that's what the Gemara tells us the principle is. Only when it comes to a mitzvah that you're obligated to do, like shofar, a megillah, or anything like that. Hallel. But when you have a mitzvah which you're not obligated to do, for example, eating or drinking, we would assume that on a birchas hananen, you don't have a right to say yatza motzi. So if I already made the shahakal for myself, I cannot go ahead and make a shahakal for somebody else. If I don't plan to be eating or drinking now, I don't have the opportunity to make the bracha for someone else who does need that bracha, who does require it. Then the Gemara goes into a discussion as you turn over to the Amud Beis. What about a birchas hananen, which is also a birchas hamitzvah? What if you have a birchas hananen, which you're obligated to make? For example, kiddush. Every Friday night you have an obligation to make kiddush, or you have an obligation to eat matzah on Leil HaSeder. So you have to make an alachilas matzah. You also have to make a bracha of hamotzi lechem min haaretz. That's something you're obligated to do. So in a case like that, the Gemara wants to know, should that be classified or categorized as something that's in the group of birchas hananen, because after all, it's the same hamotzi lechem and haaretz you would make on a Tuesday afternoon, or do you say, no, it's the same bracha, but it has a very different meaning, it has a very different understanding of what that bracha is all about. On Leil HaSeder, when we make the hamotzi lechem and haaretz, on Friday night when I make the kiddush, bari pri hagafen, that's not the same bari pri hagafen that I would make on a Tuesday afternoon, that's not the same Hamotzi lechem min haaretz, that I would make on a piece of bread. And therefore the Gemara says, when it comes to a case like that, when it comes to birchas halechem, or borei pri hagafen, when it comes to those opportunities during the year when you recite a birchas hanenin, because you're obligated to make it, in a case like that we say, yatzah motzi would apply as well. You would have the right and you would have the obligation to go ahead and make the bracha for other people in order to help them out, because kol yisrael arevim zeh bazeh would apply in a case like that. So that's where we left off, that we have to discuss how this fits into other brachas that we do throughout the year. I'm reminded, now that we mentioned the bracha on Friday night of Kiddush and the bracha on Pesach night on Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, so I mentioned this morning, I assume most of you were not here today this afternoon in the Mincha Shir. So I did mention this morning something fascinating that Rav Shlomo Kluger has in his Tshuvas Elef Lecha Shlomo. So he has a lot of very interesting and strange things every once in a while. But Rav Shlomo Kluger has an insight where he talks about Kiddush on Friday night, and he has also about Pesach night. So the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Lamed Hey that if a person doesn't make a bracha before they eat something, before they derive pleasure or benefit from a food or drink, so the Gemara says, Kilu gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if you're stealing from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the understanding in the Pasuk, HaShamayim Shamayim LaHashem, that before you make a bracha, everything belongs to Hashem, it's in the Shamayim. Or it's Nasan V'nei Adam, after you make a bracha, then it all belongs to us. Then we have a right, we have a license to go ahead and eat it. But before we recite the bracha, it's as if we're stealing. So Rav Shlomo Kluger has a shaila. He says, well, what would you say in a case on Pesach night, says Rav Shlomo Kluger. So you have somebody who's all confused. They have so many things that they're seeing in the Haggadah. First time making their own Seder. They're all nervous. They don't know what's going on. So they come to the night of the Seder. It's up to the part of Motzi Matzah. They go and they make the bracha of Alachilas Matzah. They're all excited. They're going to make the bracha. And they go ahead and eat the matzah. But they forget that on the next page it says you're supposed to also make a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Na'ar. It's the same way you make on every other day of the year when you're eating bread. So they forget all about it. So they go ahead and they eat the matzah, they finish the Seder. Then somebody says later on, you know, you're thinking back, we realize you made a mistake. You only made a birchas hamitzvah of alachilas matzah. You forgot to make the regular bracha, which is so obvious, of hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So Reb Shlomo Kluger discusses what would be the halach in such a case. He argues, he takes that principle so far, and he says, since if a person eats without reciting a bracha, it's as if he's stealing. So Reb Shlomo Kluger wants to argue that we should say in a case like this, it's like you ate matzah gzula. It's like you stole matzah on the night of the Seder. And what would the halacha be if you went ahead and stole somebody else's matzah to go and perform your mitzvah on the Leil HaSeder? You're not mekayim the mitzvah. The matzah has to belong to you. You can't steal from somebody else. So he wants to argue that it's like, we take it so far, so literally, as to say, it should be considered like it's matzah gzula and you don't perform the mitzvah at all. That's a fascinating chiddush of Rav Shlomo Kluger. I don't think we accept that. What? Even the shogeg. So, I don't know. I didn't spend too much time thinking about this chiddush because I don't think it's accepted at all. What?
So you can go back and make both brachas, but still hasn't got
seder. So that's the question. When you find out, when you figure out that you made a mistake, do you go back and make a bracha? Anyway, I think it's a big chiddush. I think we would say safik brachas lahakal probably. Now it's a little bit too late. But, you know, like I was talking to Rav Asher Weiss today about something else. And he said on the phone, I mentioned to him that I was at a wedding last week. If you're in shul on Friday night, I'm thinking about talking about this. We'll see how people respond. But I'm thinking about talking about it Friday night because I was intrigued by it. I was at a wedding. Somebody comes over to me. He's a Rav from Eretz Yisrael. And I met him once or twice before. Very interesting person. Literally a towering figure. He's probably 7 feet tall at least. And I'm serious. He's huge. And he came over to me. He starts to talk. And he says to me, so, Shai, what do you think? What would the halacha be if you have a ger who's Megayer in the middle of Hanukkah? So I said, what's the question? I don't understand. So he says, well, would he light Hanukkah candles if he's Megayer in the third night of Hanukkah? I said, why wouldn't he? What's the shaila? He said, what do you mean? If the Gemara says that on Hanukkah it's Mosif HaHolech, you have to add on every night to what you did the night before. So if you didn't have the nights before, so then you can't be Mosif HaHolech. So I said, this is ridiculous. I've never heard of such a thing. It's the silliest question I've ever heard. So he said, why? So I said, the Achronim talk about it by Sfiras Omer, that you have to build one day upon the other. So I understand them. And Chaschinach and others have a discussion. What do you do if somebody misses one night? What do you do if somebody's a Gerish and is Gar in the middle of Sfira? So you can't say that I'm continuing a count when I didn't do the first half of the Sfira. But here, most of Aholach, it's ridiculous. So I was really upset by his making a big deal out of this. I just thought it was a joke. And then I said to him also that Me'ikara Din we hold that Nerusha Beiso means one candle. You light one candle. So what do you mean? Most of the holach is the Mahadrin. But if the Iker Mitzvah is to light one candle every night, how can you dare to say such a thing, that If you miss the first three nights, then you shouldn't go ahead and light the rest of the nights. If you have a bar mitzvah boy, he becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Hanukkah, you're going to tell him not to light the rest of Hanukkah? It's ridiculous. I was really upset. So I was on the phone with a Rosh Weiss today, so I said to him, you know, I'm curious, did he ever hear of such a thing? I said I was at a wedding this week, and somebody told me this chiddush, so he was like laughing. He's like, it's so silly, why are you even wasting any time thinking about it? It's just ridiculous. And I told him, by the way, a day after the wedding, this person sent me an email, because he realized how upset I was by his chiddush. So he sent me an email, and he wrote to me that I should look in the tshuvas of the Rugged Shover, where the Rugged Shover has such a chiddush, and he says that if a ger is niskar in the middle of Hanukkah, so we assume that he's not able to light Hanukkah candles, because most of Holoth means you have to add to what was already there, and if it wasn't there in the beginning of Hanukkah, so then he can't pick up where he left off, because there's nowhere that he left off. So I mentioned this to Rav Asher Weiss, that I felt bad. Here I was laughing at his chiddush, and I thought it was the craziest thing I've ever heard. And then he emails me the next day, and he sends me that the Rugged Shover said the same thing. So Rav Asher Weiss said, I think we live in a generation where not every comment or sneeze that an Achron ever said has to be taken with a degree of seriousness. Okay? Some things we accept, and some things we ignore. So you have to be a big enough Talmud Chacham like Rav Asher Weiss to know when we ignore. But I would say the same thing over here. Rav Shlomo Kluger has a comment. Again, I'm not making light of it, but I think it's a comment that we probably do not accept. I think it's taking the Gemara a little bit too far to say that when a person doesn't make a bracha, it's really like Kiilu Gozala Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if you're really stealing, to the point that we would say it's like Matzik Zula. I don't know. And then what would you say if you did it Peshogeg? I don't know. I'm not convinced of the whole Chiddush LaHalacha. I think it's an interesting point, but I don't know that it's to be considered Al Pi Halacha for real. So here we have our Gemara. Right.
The reason they say the bracha on the wife is just for that reason. It would be like
Molo
if you didn't make that.
It's not what the Gemara says. No, it could be that's his pshat in the Gemara. I don't know. The Gemara has a discussion of machlokas in the Gemara when do you make the bar piyar gafen, which one comes first? That's the Gemara has a long discussion. It could be that was the rav's pshat in the Gemara. It's like you're making a bracha on stolen wine. Interesting. Yeah. Could be. I don't know. So now here's the question. So what would you say, where does Birchas HaMazon fall in this list of categories? On the one hand, you have a bracha that you have to make, which is like the bracha on Tkiyah Shofar, the bracha on putting on tefillin, the bracha on Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos. All those things we assume is a bracha you have to make. So in a case like that, we say Yatzah Motzi. As long as somebody else has not performed the mitzvah, you still can do it for them. You can still make the bracha on their behalf. But where would you classify, how would you categorize the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon? On the one hand, you'll say, that should be like a regular Birchas HaNenin. The same way Shahakol, I can't make for somebody else if I'm not obligated to make the Shahakol, because it's not something you have to make. So you can't say Yatzah Motzi. You can't say, I'm bound by Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. You didn't have to make the bracha. Nobody told you to go eat the chocolate bar. Nobody told you to go have the steak. So we don't say Yatzah Motzi by Birchas HaNenin. On the other hand, now that you already ate, so now you're obligated to bench. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Now that you already ate, so now you're obligated to bench. So maybe that should be considered the same, like the bracha on the tefillin, like the bracha on the shofar, like the bracha on the challah, which you have to make once you're in this circumstance. Once it happens to be Chanukah, once it happens to be Purim, and you have to lay in the Megillah, you're obligated to do it. Once you happen to eat, now you have an obligation to make a Birchas HaMazon. So would we say Birchas HaMazon is like Birchas HaNenin, and therefore you say Yatzah Motzi would not apply? Or do you say, no, Birchas HaMazon should be like any other regular, classical Birchas HaMitzvah, which we would assume you have the right to say Yatzah Motzi on a bracha like that? Yeah?
In the first instance, you don't. Once you decide you want to take a drink, you have to make the bracha. Once you decide you eat, you have to bench.
But it can always, meaning, you can always, something can always go wrong. Let's say the cup of water can spill on the floor, then you have nothing, right?
So
let's say you have a person who ate. Now he's finished. Now he's ready to bench. The question is, can someone else bench for them or not?
The bracha's before, but benching is after.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Right, that's why there's a distinction. So that's the question. Would you say they're the same, or would you say, no, maybe Birchas HaMazon should be considered not like a Birchas HaNenin, but rather like a regular Birchas HaMitzvah, in which you have the opportunity to say Yatzah Motzi, yeah?
The other person never had an obligation to set to bench. They had an obligation to put on film.
Right.
They're not in the space of benching.
So that's the question. Meaning, so in my circumstance right now, you're saying in my circumstance right now, I don't have to bench. I didn't eat.
Yeah.
But since Kol Yisrael Reivim Zebazeh, and you have an obligation to bench, meaning you can't say you have an obligation to make a Shahakol Niyabedvar right now on your soda. because you don't have an obligation to drink it. But once you drink it, now you have an obligation to make a Birchas HaMazon. Now you have an obligation to make a Bar Nefashos.
But I was never in the Parsha.
That's the question. That's exactly the question. So I can hear both sides, but that's what the Rishonim deal with. Let's see. Let's learn through it together. So we start with the Gemara. Does everyone have the sheet? We start with the Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. There are two different pages. The one that has only a few entries on there. So the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph as follows. Amar Abchia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, La'olam, Eina Motzi Yisarab Midei Chobasan. I can only be the one to be motzi everybody else in the benching, meaning it used to be when they had the benching where one person benched for everybody else, mezumin was, you had one person and everybody paid attention. So we happen not to do that anymore. But the Gemara says in those times, when they used to have one person do the benching, the only person who can be singled out to be the one who's the shliach tzibur for the benching is someone who is achal kezayis dagan. Only somebody who ate a kezayis of grain can be the one who we single out to be motzi all of us in the benching. Rashi explains as follows. Miki achal kezayis dagan. But once I went ahead and ate a kezayis of grain, once I ate a kezayis of bread, then the Rashi writes, Mia mapik, I'm able to go ahead and recite the benching for everybody else. Why? Af agav de kezayis dagan shiura derabananu. If I only eat a kezayis of bread, do I have a biblical obligation to bench or only a rabbinic obligation?
Biblical.
No. Yeah. Biblical is only v'achalta v'savata v'erachta, only when I'm full. So we assume a kedei sviya is more than a kezayis. So, if a person only eats a kezayis, they only have a rabbinic obligation to bench. Again, the Chacham said once you eat a kezayis of bread, you have to bench. But Rashi says, once I went ahead and I ate a shir derabanan, kedam reperek mishameser, that's only chayiv midirabanan, we already call you a mechuyiv bedavar. We already call you somebody who's obligated to bench, even though on a biblical level, you're really not obligated to bench. We haven't recognized anything that you ate at all on a biblical level. You're not full from that. And therefore, once we assume that you're considered a mechuyiv bedavar, then you could be motzi acher midei chavasan. So the Rishonim have a very obvious question. The Rishonim ask, what do you mean? Did Rashi forget about this concept of yatza motzi? Our Gemara says we have a concept that you can recite a bracha on behalf of somebody else who has to make a bracha. So why do you even have to eat the kezayis at all? Rashi says, once you ate a kezayis, now you're considered a mechuyiv bedavar midrabanan, and once you're obligated on a level of derabanan to say the benching, you can fulfill the obligation for everybody else who even ate till their stomachs are full, till they were kedei sviya. Why does Rashi have to say that? Why do you have to eat anything? What's pshat in the Gemara? Why does the Gemara say the only one who's able to be singled out as the mevarich on behalf of everybody else is somebody who ate a kezayis dagan? Why? Why do you have to eat anything? Why don't you say the principle of yatza motzi? Yatza motzi should dictate that as long as there's somebody in the world who has to bench, that means I'm able to take care of the obligation for them. Very simple question.
It's a question on Rashi. It's a question on the
Gemara. Right, so forgetting Rashi. That's the question on the Gemara. We'll get back to Rashi in a minute. It's a very important Rashi. So the Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Ardaf ask the Gemara, ask the Kasha. Look at the Ritva. Ubevadai de bebirchas hamazon kivin shekvar achal, says the Ritva. Once you already ate and now you're obligated to say a birchas hamazon, says the Ritva, kibirchas chovahi. Now that's considered the same as the bracha on the tefillin, the bracha on the shofar, the bracha on the halal, the bracha on mikra megillah, everything else. Because you have an obligation to do a birchas hamazon, which means anybody else can really do it for you. Yatza motzi should apply. Again, what you thought was not even a hava mina, the Ritva says, to me it's obvious. To me it's obvious. That's what he says. And now he's going to be stuck with the Gemara, right? Now he's stuck with the Gemara in Brachos. Why? Because the Gemara there indicates that seems that you can't say yatza motzi unless the person actually ate or drank something. Why should that be the case? So the Ritva writes, Uvedin hu, and really the truth is, she'afal pi she'yatza motzi. Really we should say that since this Birchas HaMazon is a Birchas Chova, is like a bracha that we would make on any other mitzvah, because now I'm obligated to make it, really we should apply the regular principle of Yatza Motzi. Ella says, the Ritva, Derabbanan bo sheyotzi la'atzmo. The Chachamim were the ones who interjected and said, you can't use the principle of Yatza Motzi here when it comes to Birchas HaMazon. Why not? Why should this be different? De'lo michlif bebirchas hanenin shehi reshus. It gets confusing. Gets confusing because Birchas HaMazon, after all, is in the general category of Birchas HaNenen, of brachas that we make over food. So again, this happens to be at the end of the meal, and that happens to be at the beginning of the meal, but the Ritva writes, because we're concerned that you're going to make a mistake and you're going to confuse it with the Shahako, which you're not allowed to say Yatza Motzi, and the Birchas HaMazon, which you are allowed to say, therefore they said, you know what, no Yatza Motzi here. But we're going to bump it down a notch, and we're going to say, You don't have to eat a shir daraisa. You don't have to eat like everybody else. You don't have to have kedei svia. It's good enough if you eat a kazayis. That's good enough to make you considered a mechuyev bedavar. That's the Ritva's statement. That's the way he understands, and that's the way he puts together our Gemara with the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. Again, our Gemara says we have a concept of yatsa motzi when it comes to regular mitzvahs that you have an obligation to fulfill, like tefillin, shofar, megillah, halal, anything like that. We should say, even after you've already fulfilled your obligation, you can go and make the bracha once again for somebody else who has not yet done their obligation, because we assume the principle of yatsa motzi. Our Gemara says it does not apply to a birchas hanenin. Why? Because a birchas hanenin that you make on a food or drink is not something you're obligated to make. It's something you chose. It's an elective bracha. And therefore we cannot say, Kol Yisrael Arev Mzeh Bzeh obligates me to make it for you. You weren't obligated to make it either. Now comes along the Ritva and he says, we have a Gemara Maseches Brachos where the Gemara seems to indicate not so. The Gemara says, thereby birchas hamazon, the only person who can be singled out to make the benching for everybody else is someone who ate a little bit together with everybody else. Why do I have to eat? Why don't you say Yatzamotzi? Says the Ritva, really we should have said Yatzamotzi. We should have said Yatzamotzi, but the problem here is a technical problem. Problem is we're assuming that people are going to get confused and they're going to mix it up with the Birchas Hanenin before they eat, and therefore we say, even the Birchas Hamazon after they eat, also we don't apply the principle of Yatzamotzi. Clear? So that's what the Ritva writes both over there in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, as well as you look at Maseches Brachos, where the Ritva writes the same thing. Look at the next one. The Ritva says, Midina, really, it should be the case, Birchas Hamazon, afilu lo'achal klal. You should be able to recite the Birchas Hamazon for other people, even if you didn't eat at all. However, he says, I'm sorry, Motzi, the man da'achal shiur da'raisa, da'avale kebirchas ha'mitzvah, da'afal pishe yatza motzi. Really, we should have said it. However, he says, it's a little bit similar to Birchas Hanenin, and therefore we say you're going to get confused, so we don't want to take any chances. The Tosis writes the very same idea, he just changes it a little bit. He says, well, since in Birchas Hamazon you have to say Baruch She'achalnu Mishalo, you have to say all these kinds of terminologies of, I was the one who ate. So he says that's not really honest to say, I was the one who ate, to say on behalf of somebody else. To say Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos HaVitzivanu, that doesn't bother Tosis. Why? Because we are Kiddushanu B'mitzvos HaVitzivanu. We are obligated. We do have a mitzvah. We do have a chiyuv. But to say that I ate, I thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for the food that I ate, well, you didn't eat anything. So that's why Tosis says also on a technical point, I would have said Yatza Motzi by Birchas Hamazon. Tosis says a technical reason why we don't, because we're concerned that the person cannot truthfully say the words of the benching, which are that I myself ate and I enjoyed the food that I ate, and therefore I'm saying the Birchas Hamazon. But either way, what you see is the Rishonim clearly assume that Birchas Hamazon also technically would have been part of the category of a real Birchas HaMitzvah, in which we would have said the principle of Yatza Motzi would apply. Why? It's a Chiddush, but they're assuming that once the person got themselves involved in the situation, once a person got themselves to the point where they have a chiyuv to do such a thing, then we would assume that now anybody else is able to make the bracha for them, because under the circumstances you now have a complete obligation to make that bracha. Yeah?
Even the terminology yatsa, that's a mosi, doesn't work here. Because you were never, you yourself were not yotze. So how can you...
Yatza motzi means even if I was already, not only if. Yatza motzi means even if I was already yotze, I can go ahead and be motzi somebody else. That's what it means.
Can you say simply that the distinction is between the chiyuv and the klal?
Yeah.
And the chiyuv and the gavra? Yeah, it's a matzah that turned into a chova, but still it's a chiyuv and the gavra, therefore that's where the challenge occurs, where it's supposed to the chiyuv and the klal, where there's shofar or something else, anyone can really be matzah.
I don't think we look at a regular bracha on a mitzvah as a matir.
No, I don't think. The Birchas Hanenin is a matir.
Right.
So here, even though it's a matir that turned into a chov, because now that you have the bench,
right,
that chiyuv is not the same chiyuv as shofar. Now, they're trying to bend over back.
That's the question, why not?
Right, so maybe this is exactly why not, because shofar is something that's chal on everyone. Benching is only a chal if you had beforehand. You put yourself in that situation.
Benching is chal on anyone who might be in that situation. Take, for example, the Prima Gadim says an example, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the Prima Gadim, that's what I'm looking for, I can't find it. But I think the Prima Gadim has the example about tzitzis. So what would you say about tzitzis? Right, so you have a mitzvah to put on tzitzis. But you don't have a chiv to put on tzitzis. The real mitzvah is, if you have a four-cornered garment, you should put tzitzis on the beggar that you're wearing. Nowadays, we all go out of our way to obligate ourselves in wearing the tzitzis, so we buy an extra beged because nobody wears four-cornered garments. But in the times of Chazal, before they had this new invention that we do of everybody wearing tzitzis, it was only if you had a four-cornered garment. So you put yourself in the scenario. You went ahead and bought that garment. You went ahead and put yourself in the scenario where now you're obligated to make the bracha. Ask the Prima Gadim, is somebody else able to make the bracha for you? Or do you say, no, that should be like a bracha sanenin. That's an elective bracha. So that's a good test case. Here's a mitzvah that applies to everybody. It's not the same as birchas hamazon. Here's a mitzvah that really could apply to all men. And the question is, would you assume that if applies to all men, but it's not something that all men have to do, is that the same as tkiyah shofar? Or would you say that's like a birchas hanenin? So that's what the Prima Gadim discusses, and he says that would be a little bit of a test case to figure out what you would say in this, something like that. The Prima Gadim comes to the conclusion, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen it right now, but I saw it once. Prima Gadim, I think, comes to the conclusion that in such a case, we can also apply the principle of Yatza Motzi, because that's something that you have an obligation to do if you're in this circumstance. Well, that follows to reason the same should be by Berachas HaMazon. Now you can break it down further and say, well, that's only a communal obligation. This is only individual. But I don't know that that's a factor. I don't know that that's a mitigating factor in trying to figure out this halach of Yatza Motzi. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I think the Prima Gadim talks about a number of these examples. Same, right. Same these anomaly mitzvahs where you have an obligation but you don't really have an obligation. So that's the question that he discusses. So now, we touched a little bit on the issue when we read the Rashi. Again, I jumped ahead. You were correct. Why are we jumping on Rashi? We shouldn't have jumped on Rashi because we weren't really up to it. Rashi here points out something that should be of interest to us. We have a Gemara. The Gemara has in Brachas such a unusual story. The Gemara has the story in Maseches Brachos on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph about Yanai HaMelech. Now, the Gemara says there, Yanai HaMelech was a Rasha Marusha. He was an awful person. Yanai HaMelech killed out all the Chachamim of his generation. Yanai HaMelech's wife was... what? Shimon Ben Shetach's sister, right? So the Gemara says that Yanai HaMelech, for some reason, had a wife who was the sister of Shimon Ben Shetach. So Shimon Ben Shetach's sister felt very bad that her husband was going ahead and killing all the Chachamim. She realized her brother's going to be the next victim. So she pleaded, can she hide somebody? I don't know how Yanai HaMelech didn't figure out that that's who she was hiding, but she went ahead and she hid her brother, and she made sure that they weren't going to catch him, they weren't going to kill him. So her brother was kept alive, and it was a big secret. I think Yana himself didn't even know that Shimon ben Shetach was the one who was hiding. So then, after they finished wiping their hands from the terrible destruction that they just did, they killed all the Talmidei Chachamim in the world, basically. So the Gemara says the following. Yanai Malko Malkusa, after Yanai HaMelech and his wife go ahead and responsibly kill all the Talmidei Chacham of the generation, so the Gemara says, Kricha Rifta Bahari Adani, they sit down to have a nice meal. What else are they going to do? We did our job, we're finished. Now it's time to break the bread. So they sit down, they throw a big party, Rashi says. So Yanai turns to his wife and says, hey, we have a major problem. What's the problem? Problem is, I just killed out all the Talmidei Chachamim. So who's going to bench? So who's going to bench? I don't know the words of the benching. They didn't have Sidurim back then. They didn't have a bencher like we have. So it used to be anytime he had to bench, he would call somebody in and say, can you bench for me? But now he's faced with a problem. I just killed everybody. What's going to be with the benching? Why are you concerned about the benching when he just killed everybody? Lo Sirtzach is probably more important than the benching. Okay, I don't know. So the Gemara says the story. He didn't know what to do. He asked his wife, what do I do? I'm stuck. I just killed everybody. What are we going to do? We just ate. We have a chiv d'araisa at a bench. Where are we going to find somebody who can bench for us? Where are we going to find somebody who's knowledgeable enough to know the benching by heart and help us out here? Amrale, she says, oh, I might have an idea. I might know somebody who's still around. How do you know somebody who just killed everyone? Aha! So she says, I'm not giving away the secret. Ishtabali, it's only if you promise me, you swear to me, di my sina lach gavra, that if I bring somebody here who knows the benching, that lomet sarislay, that you're not going to kill him, you're not going to give him trouble. So he realizes he doesn't have a choice. After all, he has to bench, so what can he do? So he gives in to his wife. Ishtabala, he swears to her that you can bring whoever you want. As long as they know to bench, I'm not going to trouble them, I'm not going to take their lives away. I see say l'shim ben shetach. Lo and behold, her brother shows up. Surprise, surprise. And she says, well, I think my brother Shimon ben Shetach probably knows how to bench. Well, what happens? Osve ben didei ledida, they seat Shimon ben Shetach in between the king and the queen. They give him the seat of honor. Amar lei, and he says, Chazis kama yakra avinalach. Yanai says to him, don't you see how much we respect you? We're putting you to sit in between the melech and the malka, in between the king and the queen. Amar lei, Lav at kom mukrisli, ela araisihu demokrili. I don't take any pleasure in sitting next to you. I don't take any pleasure in sitting next to her. What gives me covet in my life is all the Torah that I've learned. That's what I find to be respectable. Anything else is nothing to me. Fine. Amale, kachazis de la makabel maris. I see that you're not really accepting my rulership. Well, I wouldn't either if I just saw what you did to the Jewish world. But okay. Yavule kase de bruche. So Yana gets all upset. He says, all right, tachlis, we brought you here to bench for us. We don't have anyone who knows how to bench the mezumin. They pass him a cup of wine, and they say, now we would like you to be the one to bench the mezumin. Amar, he says, hechi avrich. What should I say? Baruch sha'acha yane v'chaber mishalo. What should I say in the benching? Blessed is Hashem, baruch sha'acha yane v'chaber, that Yane and his friends went ahead and had a meal. Basically, he was sticking it to him. You don't even give me a piece of bread to eat. You want me to bench? Give me something to eat. So, shasi elahu kaso. So Shimon ben Shetach goes ahead and drinks the cup of wine. Takes a bar priyagav and drinks the cup of wine. He says, I have to do something in order to allow myself to bench. If I don't eat at all, if I don't participate in the meal, how can I be the one to bench? So the Gemara says, Yavale kasa achrina. Now they bring him a second cup. They say, well, you didn't follow the rules. You weren't supposed to drink that one. That was for the benching. They were such machmirim, they bench on a cup of wine also. This Yanai. So the Gemara says, they bring him another cup of wine, and then he goes out and he benches. So the Gemara says, how come Yanai was okay with the fact that now he drank a cup of wine, so now he's able to bench? Why is that good enough? So Gemara says, you're right. Really, Yanai went only according to his opinion, but the Chachamim would have disagreed with him. The Chacham would have said, he can only be motzi acher midei chavasan once he ate a kezayis dagan. So Yanai went ahead, he did something which was according to his own opinion, and he didn't follow the opinion of the Chacham of his generation. Okay, Rashi says there, as we saw before, like you correctly pointed out, we jumped the gun. Rashi says there, had Yanai gone ahead and ate a kezayis dagan, right? Not just, what? I'm sorry, thank you. Had Shimon ben Shetach went ahead and ate a kezayis dagan, had he ate just a mere kezayis, then everybody would have agreed, all the chachamim would have agreed that he had the right to bench on behalf of Yanai and all of his chevra that were there at the party. But because Shimon ben Shetach only drank a cup of wine, that's where it was a controversial thing for him to do. That's what Rashi says. So, the other Rishonim point out, what do you mean? Had Shimon ben Shetach only ate a kezayis dagan, that would mean he's only obligated midrabbanan. But Shimon ben Shetach, Rashi says, probably ate a feast. So he was kedei svia, so he was obligated midaraisa. So on a level of daraisa, Shimon ben Shetach is not in the picture. No? Is that clear? Shimon ben Shetach only eats a kezayis. Had he only eaten a kezayis, the Gemara says, everybody would have agreed that Shimon ben Shetach had the right to bench on behalf of Yanai v'Chaverev, even though they were full, they were stuffed to the gills. They ate a kedei svia, they were obligated on a level of darais at a bench, and Shimon ben Shetach only eats a little morsel of bread, and he's obligated only midirabbanan to bench. How can that help? On the level of darais, you're a nobody. You're not here. You're not in the equation. So that's what Rashi writes, and the other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, somebody who's a mechuyav midaver midirabbanan cannot go ahead and perform the mitzvah for someone who's a mechuyav midaver midaraisa. Take, for example, the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Shabbos in Siman Reish Samach Zayin, there's a major discussion whether Tosefes Shabbos on a regular Shabbos is Daraisa or Darabanan. The Rambam seems to have no indication that you're able to do Tosefes Shabbos on a regular Shabbos. Rambam doesn't quote it. Rambam only says when it comes to Yom Kippur, that's where you find the idea, the concept of Tosefes Yom Kippur. But on a regular Shabbos, the Rambam says no such thing. There's no Tosefes Shabbos. So let's say you assume Tosefes Shabbos is only a Din Darabanan. Right, that's what you assume. You're able to have Tosefes Shabbos, but it's not a concept of Araisa. So the Mordechai writes, as quoted in the Magen Avraham, if you have somebody who went ahead and was Mekabel Shabbos early, and you assume that Tosefes Shabbos is only Midirabbanan, it only takes effect on a level of Dirabbanan, so then the Magen Avraham writes, would a person be able to make Kiddush for themselves to fulfill their biblical obligation that they have once Shabbos really comes in? So the Magen Avraham discusses the case. That's very similar to our story here. I'm only mechuyav b'davar midirabbanan now. Now I only accepted Shabbos on a dirabbanan level, which means I have a dirabbanan level of kiddush that I'm obligated to make. Later on, once it becomes dark outside, I'm going to have an obligation midaraisa to make kiddush, because now it's really going to be Shabbos, bona fide Shabbos. So what would you say in a case like that? That's the Magen Avraham Shaila. Should we say that in a case like that, since I'm going to come to be a bar chayuva later, since I'm going to come to be somebody who's obligated on a level of daraisa to make kiddush once Shabbos really sets in, therefore I should say maybe if I did my obligation now, it's already good enough. because I'm already mechuyav b'davar midrabbanan, that should be good enough. So that's the psak of the Magen Avraham, that it's good enough if you say Kiddush then, even though you yourself are only obligated midrabbanan, but since you're going to come to a chiyuv later on of a deraisa, therefore that's good enough to fulfill your obligation. That's not the same as the case over here. Over here we're talking about a person, it's a little bit different. Over here we're talking about a person that had he eaten more, he would have been mechuyav midrabbanan, but he didn't. And now he's benching. So that's the question, are these two cases the same or not? So Rabbi Akiva Eger there on Shulchan Aruch writes, well, this is a very problematic halacha. It's a problematic halacha to say like the Magen Avraham, because what if you have somebody, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, what if you have a katan? What if you have a katan who right now is obviously not obligated to do a mitzvah? So the Gemara discusses, can a katan be the one to bench on behalf of a gadol? Let's say the katan is the only one who went to school, he's the only one who knows the words of the Berachas HaMazon, and he ate together with everybody else. So his obligation is only midrabbanan, mitam chinuch. Everybody else's obligation to bench is midaraisa. The Gemara says clearly the katan cannot be the one to bench on behalf of everybody else. Why? Because he's not considered a bar chiyuva as far as they're concerned. They're obligated on the level of deraisa. He's obligated on the level of derabbanan. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, how do you fit all this together? I don't understand. How can this all fit together? Why do you say that a katan, even though he's going to come to be a bar chiyuva later on in his life when he becomes a bar mitzvah, you say he's out. But yet you say, over here that when you have a person who was Mekabel Shabbos early and they want to make Kiddush on the Zman Tosefes, which is only Midrabbanan, how can that fulfill their obligation Midaraisa just because later on they're going to become obligated on a level of Deraisa? Anyway, very complicated question, very difficult question, but let's just close. I see we're running out of time a little bit. I just want to go through what I think is a very fascinating tshuva that Rav Asher Weiss wrote. I mentioned it last week. Again, Yatzah Motzi is such a rich topic. There's so much to discuss, but we're not going to belabor the point too much. I think we've discussed it enough already. And hopefully next week we'll continue with the fourth parak. Should I assume that most people are around next week? Hanukkah? Yeah, no Hanukkah parties tomorrow? I mean next week? Wednesday? Should we have our own Hanukkah party? Okay. Anyone who wants, we can talk about that. But so I assume most people are around next week, and we should do Hanukkah next week, or we should start the fourth parak next week? What? Hanukkah? Hanukkah next week. Okay, we'll do Hanukkah next week. Great. So let's go to this question. This question was raised by somebody recently who asked me the question, and I discussed it with Rav Asher Weiss, and he wrote a very interesting response here. The question is as follows. Ploni noheg levakar es imo haloka bishitayon, which is dementia, b'chol erev Shabbos. So there's a doctor who I know very well who has a mother who is unfortunately in a stage of life where she has dementia. And he goes every day to visit his mother on his way home from work, but Erev Shabbos he goes also. She's not able to make Kiddush on her own on Friday night. So he wants to know him, who yachal kaddish lahotzi osa. This tshuva was not yet printed, so don't send it around yet. I don't know if he really wants to print it or not, but he just sent me this email. So first of all, the question is somebody who has dementia really obligated in Kiddush? So obviously that depends how far along the illness they are. Sometimes in the beginning of the illness, people are still in and out enough to understand that it's Shabbos. They might not be able to express that, but some indications show that they're well enough to understand that it is Shabbos. So here the question is, Sheilasa b'fib, Hayim hu yachal kaddish lahotzi osa, is he able to go ahead and make Kiddush for her? Av she'ein hu mekabel Shabbos. What happens? He goes on Erev Shabbos on his way home from work at 3 o'clock. Then he's going to drive home after he makes Kiddush for his mother. He wants to drive home in order to have Shabbos with his family. He's not going to stay in the hospital in the old age home with his mother for Shabbos. So he's only there at the beginning. So he comes there. He wants to make Kiddush at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then he wants to drive home. Do we call you a mechuyav b'davar at that time? The whole reason why you might be able to make Kiddush for somebody else is because Yatzah Motzi, is because Chal Yisrael Arevim Zebazet. So question number one is, who said she's obligated? Maybe she's at a stage of her illness that she's not obligated at all. Maybe she's like, unfortunately, like a shote. Maybe she has no understanding of Shabbos or Kiddush at all, and therefore we shouldn't have an obligation to do anything for her. But let's assume she is obligated. Let's say, is he considered a mechuyav b'davar that he's able to go ahead and fulfill the obligation for her? Or do you say, no, you're not a mechuyav b'davar now. You weren't mekabel Shabbos yet. So how do you look at that? So he writes, the truth is, he says, Rabbi Akiva Eger already has the exact same question. What's the question? Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, this is his lashon. Mistapkani, I have the following question. Im acher shelo kibel alav Shabbos, yachal lahotzi lekadesh lemi shekvar kibel alav Shabbos. Let's say you have somebody on a regular Shabbos, no fancy cases. Somebody on a regular Shabbos is makabel Shabbos early. They come home, they realize, I don't know how to make Kiddush. So they invite the neighbor who didn't yet take a shower, they invite the neighbor to come make Kiddush for them. Rabbi Akiva Eger has the sofik. Are you considered a mechuyev bedavar at that time where you have the ability to go ahead and make Kiddush for somebody else? Because had you wanted, you could have also been makabel Shabbos now. Or do you say no? Bottom line is, you haven't yet been makabel Shabbos. So right now, as things are, without any change, right now it's not Shabbos. Right now you're not obligated in Kiddush. And therefore right now you cannot go ahead and make Kiddush for somebody else either, because Yatza Motzi only works when you're in the same level of obligation as the other person. Fascinating question. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Yesh Lomer, one can argue, Dilazeh Shalok Kibel, this person who has not yet been Mekabel Shabbos, Hu Choletz Lo. Maybe you'll say it's considered like weekday, and therefore, Havi Ke'enu Mechuyev B'Davar. Therefore, you say it's like you're an Enu Mechuyev B'Davar at all. However, he says, he skipped down to the end, Oh, Dehacha, the end of that paragraph, Oh, Dehacha, maybe you should say, Adif, maybe this is better, to be Yadu Lahavi Atzma Lidechiyuv, the Kabel Alav Shabbos. I can get myself into the obligation by now saying, I want it to be Shabbos, and then I'll just be as obligated as you are. So that's a question that he has. That's the question Rabbi Akiva Eger has, which is basically the same question that this person had.
I understand the question. If someone blew shofar radio shul, heard of the shofar radio shul, and then he goes to the nurse and blows shofar again, he's not mechuyev anymore, yet he does it anyway.
No, so the Gemara assumes you are considered a shtikel mechuyev b'davar. Why? Because since Kol Yisrael are evim zebezeh, since somebody else has not yet fulfilled their obligation, it means you haven't totally fulfilled your obligation either. No, but here the obligation didn't set in yet.
So if you do it for him, but for the other guy, did.
That's the question. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's sofik.
But in the reverse, it's still for the other person who hasn't heard shofar blowing. He's heard it already, so it's reverse, but it still was already, he didn't have the chiv any longer.
That's exactly Rabbi Akiva Eger's sofik. If I'm able to put myself in the same situation of chiv as this other person in the hospital, such as the Tosefa Shabbos case, no, but let's say Birchas Anenin. So Kol Yisrael Ereim Zebezet doesn't apply there. Why? Because you're not obligated. So over here also. What? It's a Birchas HaMitzvah, but right now might not be the time for everybody to do it. Maybe I should be considered at this point in time, maybe I should be considered like a Shote, like a Cherish. I'm out of the bulk, I'm out of the picture. I don't come into the equation at all right now.
What's interesting is that he's assuming you definitely can't do it unless you put yourself, unless you're a Kabbalah Shabbos.
No, that's not what he says.
He says either you're not,
No, he says, oh, Adif, maybe here is better, to be Yadu Lahavi Atzmo, because I would have, because technically I could bring myself to make it Shabbos right now. Since I have that ability, therefore I'm also considered a Mechuyev B'Davar. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's question. Not that I have to go ahead and be Mekabel Shabbos. If you're Mekabel Shabbos, there's no Shaila.
Yes.
If you would already be Mekabel Shabbos, there's no Shaila at all.
Right, I thought that's what he was saying to do.
No, his question, Rabbi Akiva Eger's question is, maybe we should say not so. So, there's a famous story about the Beis HaLevi. I think we spoke about it Sfira time. Story about the Beis HaLevi, where the Beis HaLevi discusses about how one night he forgot to count Sfira. So, what happened? It's very embarrassing that the rabbi of the community is going to have to get up and not count. Did I say this last week?
Yeah.
Oh, so forget it. So now, what? Hazara. So the Beis HaLevi didn't want to embarrass himself and get up and tell everybody, by the way, I forgot to count Sfira last night. So he went over to one of the people in Shul. He said, tonight, I don't want you to count Sfira. I'll count on behalf of you. I'll have you in mind. And Yatza Motzi, or something like that, I'll have you in mind. So he quotes here in the Tshuva, you read it on your own, you can take it home. But you read this here, where he quotes that Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, I was never aware of this, but Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has a suffix where he says, how can the Beis HaLevi have done such a thing? Doesn't the Beis HaLevi know that once you're out from Sfira Saomer, once you missed the night, you're out? So you can't be the one to go ahead and be motzi the mitzvah for somebody else in your shul. You're an Enim Mechuyev B'Davar. You're out. So that sort of like destroys a really good story. Because that Beis HaLevi story is a really famous story and there's a lot of discussion about it, but Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank doesn't like it. So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank is incorrect. Again, he discusses the issue at length, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Tshuva. I looked it up. But it's not a correct taina. Why is it not a correct taina? Because Me'ikar Adin, strictly speaking, we really hold, even if you miss a night of Sfira, you can continue. We really hold, like the other Rishonim, that every night of Sfira is a separate mitzvah. out of respect to the Bahag's opinion that says that all the nights of Svir are considered like one mitzvah, out of respect to the Bahag, we say you should not make a bracha on the rest of the nights. But not because we really hold that way. It's just because we have respect for the Bahag. So the Beis HaLevi, to take it so far and to say the Beis HaLevi is no longer called a Mechuyev B'davar because he missed the night of Svir, that's going a little too far. We don't take the Bahag's opinion that literally to say that the person is no longer considered Mechuyev B'davar. In fact, I think the Achronim, right, if I'm not mistaken, the Aruch HaShulchan and others say, what happens? Sometimes we have somebody in the middle of Svir who misses a night of Svir. So what do we tell them? Everybody knows, from now on, you count without a bracha. What happens when you start to count without a bracha? A couple nights go by, and then you forget to count at all, right? Because you say, oh, I'm out already anyway. No? Only happens to me? So I would imagine, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, what's going to happen? So now a takola, a kilkul came out. What happens? Really, we hold that every night of Sfiras Omer is a separate mitzvah. If every night of Sfiras Omer is a separate mitzvah, that means you have a right to make a bracha every night, even if you missed the night before. Because tonight, the clock starts again. The clock starts over. Everything starts again. We don't care about what happened the night before. If that's really the case, and the only reason we tell you not to make a bracha on the subsequent nights is because we have respect for the Bahag's opinion, but if following the Bahag's opinion is going to make you forget to do the mitzvah itself on future nights, there are some Achronim who argue, forget about this chumrah of the Bahag. We shouldn't follow the Bahag's opinion if it's making you lose out on the Ikra mitzvah that you're supposed to be doing. Is that making sense? So that's I think, a very strong, very logical taina. I discussed it with my father this year. He said, well, it's true. If you have people that really you think are going to forget in the future to count because now they're going to be mezalzel in the whole Sfir Somer because they're not making a bracha, so he said, maybe we should tell them such a thing. He thought it made a lot of sense.
Rely on that?
What?
Could the Beis HaLevi have relied on that? Or no,
he wasn't going to forget. He forgot once. That was bad enough. Anyway, in the end, you look at the last paragraph of this tshuva where he writes the following. Mikal Malkam Nira, it's like 10 lines from the bottom. Mikal Malkam Nira Diyesh Lahachmer Bazet. He suggests, Lemaskana, when you have this case of the woman who has dementia and the son wants to say Kiddush, he suggests that we should be Machmer, Ulihi Malait, and we should keep ourselves away, Mechashash Bracha Levatala, Shahar Behechmiru Bazet HaPoskim, that the Poskim take it very seriously about not making a Bracha Levatala. Ubefrat, Benidon Didan, and certainly in our case, Sheyesh Lehistape Go, that you can wonder also, Im Ima Bechlal Chiv Kiddush Ayom. Is this woman who has dementia, is she really obligated in the first place? So again, you're being a nice child, you're being a nice son that you want to have her feel the ambiance of Shabbos or whatever, but that's all very nice, but you might be sacrificing a bracha levatela. V'ha'im b'yada l'chavein latzeis, can she really have a mind to be yotze with you? De'halot tzorech kavanas shomea u'mashmia latzeis yidei chova. In order to have this yatsa motzi, in order to have somebody else making the bracha on my behalf, I have to have in mind to be yotze with them. I have to have in mind to listen to their bracha. Va'od is at Pashut, and he says this is also the case, Dirak im tekabel alea tosefes Shabbos, shayich shateitze yidechovas kiddush hayom. The only time you could say that you can make kiddush for her is, not that technically I could have been mekabel Shabbos, it's only if she actually was mekabel Shabbos. So how is a woman with dementia, who doesn't really understand a lot of things, and isn't able to speak, how is she going to be mekabel Shabbos early? So once Shabbos comes in, Shabbos is here. But to say that she's mekabel tosefes Shabbos without saying anything, so he wasn't such a fan of the whole thing, and he says Mishum calls Anira lahalacha. Therefore, he says Alpi alacha. He thought sheyimna lekadosh b'shvila bebracha. He thinks that the son, as well intentioned as he is, should not go ahead and recite the bracha on behalf of his mother. Ela yichabdena biyismechena bechal derech acher. You should try, however you can, to make her feel the ambiance of Shabbos in other ways. Maybe to set a nice table and to bring beautiful, wonderful foods. But he says to go ahead and make the kiddush. He thought might not be an appropriate thing to do because that is riding on a question of a bracha levatela. So Amir Tashem, next week we will continue, not in, first of all, Mazel Tov, we finished the third parak, never thought it would happen, but it did. And next week, Amir Tashem, we will continue with Hilchas Chanukah for 1 week, and then we will pick up the week after that. I want to bring to everyone's attention that this coming Monday is a legal holiday. So this coming Monday at 9:30 a.m., we are having Rabbi Yonason Sachs will be speaking here on Inyanei Chanukah, both for men and for women. And he will be followed by a video presentation by Rabbi Foreman. That's this Monday. The next Monday is also a legal holiday, and that will be another two-series program. That will be Rabbi Arya Leibowitz speaking at 9:30 a.m. for men and for women, giving a shiur on I forgot what, and that will be followed by Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, who will be speaking at 10:30 to 11:30 the following Monday. That's on January 2nd. Program will be this week, December 26th, and next week, January 2nd for men and for women. Thank you.
Wurzburger once mentioned to me that
Rob told him
was he was also with that boy the man.
Yeah.
He couldn't make a bracha.